Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You've heard it said, be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. The same might be said sometimes for prayer. Be careful what you pray for. You just might get it. And in getting it, you just might be so caught up in the gift that you end up turning your back on the giver. Sadly, we see that happen in our gospel today. Our gospel started out with those 10 lepers, and as we learn later, they're made up of both Jews and at least one Samaritan, all afflicted with that same dreadful infection called leprosy that marred and deformed their bodies and separated them from society and ceremonially separated them from God too, as they were unable to approach God's temple or take part in any of the rituals of Israel because of their perpetual state of uncleanness. The laws in Israel given by God were harsh concerning leprosy. But God was teaching Israel a very important lesson through that disease and the consequences that went along with it. That physical illness called leprosy was a sign and symbol and illustration of the infection that all of us bear that we call original sin. But it's the infection of our whole nature that mars and deforms our souls before God and makes us unclean before Him. And God says very clearly and teaches through those laws that only the clean can approach the holy God. But if all people are unclean by nature, if all people are represented there by the lepers, where do the clean people come from? Where do the clean people in Israelite society come from that the lepers can't take part in? The clean people are not clean by nature. But they teach us that God is the one who has to cleanse the unclean. And how did He do it in the Old Testament? He did it through the ritual sacrifices for sin and the sprinkling with hyssop, that brush that sprinkled the people with the special water that God set aside to cleanse people from their sin. As David prayed in Psalm 51, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Or in the words that you heard from Jeremiah the prophet, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. All of that was a shadow of the sacrifice of Christ that He would make for sin once for all to cleanse all people of their sins, and of the sprinkling with baptismal waters, which isn't holy water in and of itself. It's holy in the sacrament that God gave us because it cleanses from sin and washes them away. It gives the forgiveness of sins, which is received by faith to all who believe. Now, most people in the world, all of us start out unclean. Most don't come to Jesus for that baptismal washing. But some do. And they receive from Jesus just what all 10 lepers received in our gospel: cleansing, healing, mercy. That healing of the lepers is a picture for us, because as all 10 of them were cleansed, so all of us received grace and mercy and forgiveness from Christ in baptism. All the lepers prayed for that healing, and they got what they asked for. But then what happened? One of them saw that he was healed along the way and immediately turned and went back to Jesus to give thanks to God, while the other 9 kept right on going. And Jesus points to that. He doesn't just rejoice in the one who returned, which he does, but he also speaks with sadness about those who didn't. Were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Nope, he was the only one. The other 10 took the gift that they had asked for, the gift that they had received, healing, cleansing, a return to society, and they ran, eager to enjoy the gift Jesus had given them. They got what they asked for, and then Jesus became nothing more to them than an afterthought, forgotten really, although not entirely forgotten, of course. Well, this happens all too often with the baptized too. Many people do come to Jesus for cleansing and holy baptism, and they receive his cleansing. Then they go on in their life, maybe still for a while as Christians, and they seek help from Jesus in this or that earthly trouble or earthly need. Jesus, help me to find a spouse, or help me to find a job, or help me to recover from an illness. And he grants their request. And then they spend so much time enjoying the gift they received, now free from whatever trouble they had, that they leave Jesus and forget about him. But of course not entirely. No one who even leaves the church says, I forgot about Jesus. Who is he? They don't say that. Many say, well, I still worship Jesus. Even though they've given up coming to church, even though they've given up receiving Jesus' body and blood, which he gives them for their salvation, they still say they love him and believe in him, but they don't want the continual gifts that he gives in his gospel and sacraments. They give thanks to God in their hearts, they think, and that's enough. But the 9 who were healed could have easily done that too, and probably did. The 9 who were healed probably saw themselves healed and rejoiced greatly and were in their hearts thankful to Jesus for that gift. But they figured it was enough. And Jesus says it wasn't enough. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And notice Jesus says, who returned to give glory to God. Well, why do you have to return to Jesus to give glory to God? Isn't God everywhere? Can't you just give thanks to him at home or at the store or while you're fishing or just be thankful to him in your heart? Well, yes, but when Jesus walked the earth, he chose to locate himself, that is to locate God, in one place on earth where people could actually find him, ask him for mercy, and give thanks to him. Now that he has ascended to the right hand of God, it's even better for us because he isn't just in one place so that everyone on the earth who wants something from him has to go there. He now makes himself available in many, many places throughout the world, and yet not in every place. He makes himself available through the preaching of his word. Where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them, Jesus says. Where I, Jesus, have sent a pastor to shepherd my people, where I have put my words in his mouth so that they may recognize their sin and come to repentance, so that they may see my mercy and receive my forgiveness through faith. That is where Jesus has placed himself to be prayed to be thanked, and also to give out his gifts of the Holy Spirit and forgiveness. People really don't get that today, especially among Christians, unfortunately. I saw a post on Facebook just this last week, where someone was revealing some of the bad behaviors of some of the pastors out there. And as we've seen in the news, there's a lot of bad behavior in pastors out there, whether they're Roman Catholic or evangelical or Protestant or otherwise. One person replied on that post, though, "I don't need a pastor. The Lord is my pastor. The Lord is my shepherd." Pastor and shepherd, you know, mean the same thing. In other words, I don't need to bother with even going to a church or finding a church or listening to a pastor or receiving the ministry of him, because I listen directly to the Lord and I follow him without anybody else in between. It sounds nice. It sounds pious, but it really isn't. It's a rejection of Jesus. To reject those whom he has sent to shepherd his people. Now, you all know that it isn't easy to find a shepherd who preaches the whole truth of God's word purely and administers the sacraments rightly. And it's one thing not to go to a church because you can't find one that teaches the truth. It's another thing entirely to imagine that finding a church and going to church regularly just isn't that important. It's all important, because that's where Jesus still makes himself available for those who believe in him to worship him and to thank him for his goodness. We call the sacrament of the altar the Eucharist for a reason: the thanksgiving. This is where he has given us to come together in thanksgiving for his sacrifice on the cross, which he now gives to us in that very sacrament. So we come in thanksgiving to receive it at his word. Now, the one foreigner in our gospel who was healed of his leprosy knew better than the rest to go to where Jesus was. The faith of the nine lasted only a brief moment. There is no such thing as once believing, always believing. Just as there's no such thing as once saved, always saved. Because salvation is tied to faith. And Jesus gives us so many warnings in his scripture about not falling away from the faith that he has given us through his word. But the faith of the one, of the foreigner, of the Samaritan, outlasted the faith of all those in Israel. And he received a far greater blessing than the healing of his body. "Arise," Jesus said, "go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you." The others got what they prayed for. They were saved from leprosy. But they forfeited having Jesus as their Savior from sin, as the one whose mercy would save them from wrath on the day of God's wrath, and would see them all the way through this life and into an eternal inheritance. That one who returned to give thanks got what he prayed for and so much more. That one who returned, the Samaritan, could truly pray the words that Jeremiah prayed in the first lesson today that you heard: "O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed." Jesus was the hope of all 10 lepers and wanted to continue to be their hope, but the 9 who forsook him will be ashamed on the last day. As God warns in Jeremiah, "those who depart from me shall be written in the earth," a poetic way of saying that they will die and be buried in the earth and perish eternally. Why? God says, "because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters." People think that having some earthly healing, some earthly comfort, some earthly pleasure is all they need from God, but they fail to recognize that he is the fountain of living waters, who hands out living waters graciously and freely in the preaching of the gospel, in baptism, in the sacrament of the altar. Again, the Samaritan was the one who truly prayed with the prophet Jeremiah, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." In the epistle, St. Paul urged the Galatian Christians and also us not to return to the filth of the flesh from which we were cleansed, like being cleansed from leprosy. The wicked works of the flesh, which he listed in Galatians 5, and you heard today. Instead, he writes, "Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." There are few who do. But for those few, those happy few, there awaits the greater blessing that the one leper who was cleansed received. So you who have been cleansed by Jesus in holy baptism, you who have come today to give thanks to God in singing, in confessing, in praying, in receiving His sacrament that He's given you of His body and blood, go ahead and ask the Lord for all sorts of things, for mercy of every kind and in every hardship, in every weakness. Pray to Jesus for any gift that you want. But be careful not to get carried away with the gift that He gives so that you walk away from the giver. Even more than the gift you seek, pray to God that He would keep you from becoming like the nine in our gospel, who didn't remain believing and therefore didn't return in thanksgiving. Instead, give thanks that Jesus is still here, making Himself available to you, telling you that He wants you to stay with Him in His house, in His kingdom, to worship Him, to give thanks to Him, and even more importantly, to receive from Him the greater blessing of eternal salvation. Pray with Jeremiah and with the one who returned. "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise." Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.